Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Virginia basketball is the focus here on the podcast today. I am Chris Graham, and I'm going to talk about the Hoos. Let's first talk about the win last night at Pitt, Virginia, a 66-61 win in front of about five people, as I noted in my post game at the Peterson Event Center. There were more than five, but not many more than five. A really depressing crowd on hand for Pitt's home game. Rematch of Virginia's win back in early December in JPJ, a one-point win as Virginia got the win on that one on a Jaden Gardner jumper that bounced around the rim, hit the backboard, I think touched the sky before it finally fell in the hoop. Last night, Virginia not needing quite that much dramatics. The five-point win, I mean, it was a close game, but Virginia seemed to have control down the stretch. And Reese Beekman having another big night, 19 points, 8 assists. He hit three threes, 3 of 5 from three-point range, 8 of 11 from the field. Got to the rim 5 times, a dunk and 4 layups. He was 3 of 6 on jumpers. And the 8 assists, as I mentioned, he's averaging 13 points in his last 6 games, 13.2 points per game in his last 6 games. And 5 assists per game, shooting 55.7% from the field and 44.4% from three. I've been writing for much of the last year and a half about, hey, once Reese Beekman finally gets a jump shot, that kid's going to be unstoppable because he's so good at getting the rim. Of course, he's an elite defender and shows that. He gives up 30.4% shooting to opponents. He's Virginia's best defender, according to the analytics. And then by the eye test as well, he's the ACC in steals. Blocked 2 shots last night. Not bad for a 6'3 guard. But boy, you know, offensively was the issue. Could Reese Beekman do enough on the offensive end? And for a long stretch to see, he was 5 for 34, 5 for his first 34 on jumpers this season, 2 and 3-point jumpers, dramatic improvements, over the last 7 games. And it's showing. Virginia over that stretch is playing pretty well. And, he had a nice game, a nice bounce back game for Jaden Gardner. Gardner was 2 of 10, 4 points in the win over Virginia Tech last week. And then he was 3 of 14 for 9 points in the loss to Wake Forest on Saturday at JPJ. Last night, a quiet effort, 5 of 9 from the field. I believe it was 12 points for Gardner last night, but just a nice game from the big guy after a couple of subpar games. In fact, he had 14 points. He had a couple extra free throws I'd forgotten about. And so, you know, nice game. Caden Shedrick and Francisco Cafaro both fouled out. Shedrick 6 of 6 from the field, 12 points, and combined Cafaro and Shedrick 8 of 9 from the field. They had, 16 points, 8 rebounds. They had trouble guarding, not guarding, but maybe keeping off the foul line John Hughley, the big guy for Pitt, who had his own issues. He had 23 points. He was 8 of 9 from the line. He got to the line an awful lot. I'm not sure about the calls in the game, but Virginia had trouble with him in terms of foul trouble, both with Cafaro and Shedrick in the first one. I think in that one, Shedrick fouled out. Cafaro had 4. I think that's the way it was. Anyway, one of them fouled out. One of them had 4. And then last night they both fouled out. Virginia had to play the last minute and a half roughly with Jaden Gardner at the 5, or at least that's the decision Tony Bennett made. Didn't go to Igor Milicic, 6'10 freshman, to try to play things out with size. He decided just to go with the veteran guys. But the big still played well enough to give some sort of counter to Hughley in his big game. One thing I liked, I don't think I wrote this in my column, but I think it was 17 assists on where Virginia ended up making. It was more than 17 assists. And I'll have to pull the number up here real quick, but the assist to basket ratio was really high last night. I was monitoring it during the game and, I was pleasantly, surprised. I don't want to say surprised, pleasantly, observant, I guess maybe another way to put it, clumsy way to put it, of just how Virginia was getting, let's see, I finally got it up here. Virginia stats, 19 assists on 27 made baskets. So, you like seeing that out of a team. Beekman had 8 assists. T.A. Clark had 6 assists. Clark, no turnovers. Beekman did have 2 turnovers. But Virginia only 9 turnovers. Forced 15 Pitt turnovers. And then Virginia had a 21-11 advantage on points off turnovers. And even in spite of Hughley and his big 23-point effort, Virginia advantage in points in the paint, 36-30. So nice numbers for Virginia. Nice game from the Hoos, and nice road win. Third road win of the ACC season. Third road win overall for Virginia here in this 2021-2022 season. And so now let's turn our attention to a topic that I think a lot of us already think we know the answer to, and the answer would be no. And the question then, playing Jeopardy here, it looks like, right? Can Virginia earn an NCAA tournament at-large bid this year? Can they? Yes. And I lay out how. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it can happen. I don't want to write everything off at all. Now, let's look at it right now. If the season ended right now, no. The answer would be an emphatic no. Virginia wouldn't be anywhere close to the NCAA tournament right this second. You look at the metrics that the Tournament Selection Committee looks at for its ultimate guidance, the NET rating, Virginia 92. I'll go into that in a little bit, how odd that seems, considering who they've played and how other teams fare in the net and have similar or even lesser resumes. But 92 in the net for Virginia, 81 in KPI, 62 Sagarin, and 69 in the ESPN Basketball Power Index. Those numbers are nowhere close. The tournament is what? I think is it 36 at-large teams? I think that's right. Maybe it's 34 or 36. I better get that number so next time I'm right, precisely, not guessing, but somewhere in the low to mid-30s at-large teams. Boy, that means you want to be, I mean, if you're in the mid-30s to around 40 in NET, you're sweating on Selection Sunday. Virginia's 92, so you're not even sweating right now as far as Selection Sunday goes. You're just hoping to get an NIT bid, if that's the case. Virginia does have a really nice win on the resume, but just the one really nice win at this stage so far. That 58-40 win over Providence. Remember that? Boy, we thought things were really turning around at that stage. Providence is 14-2 this year, NET of 32. That's the only quad one win Virginia has, a 1-3 record in quad one games. That Navy loss, remember that one? Yeah, you can't forget that one. The season opening loss to Navy. Navy's not doing bad. 11-6 against D1 teams, 12-6 overall, NET of 128. So that's not the worst loss, though. The worst loss is actually JMU. JMU's 11-4 overall, but two of their wins over D3 teams. So JMU is officially 9-4 as far as NET goes, and a 173 ranking. That one's going to hurt. But I think the one that's going to hurt the worst is actually probably the best loss on paper right now, Iowa. And that's going to hurt because Virginia lost that one by one and had the last shot. And actually had I think it was Kia Clark missed the layup. And I say layup, it was a contested layup and it was a tough shot. And it may not have officially been on the layup, but it was maybe 3 or 4 feet away from the basket. But anyway, it was a close shot. It rimmed out. Caden Shedrick pulls the rebound down, going back up. We've all seen the pictures. There's contact on his arms as he's getting ready to shoot the ball. The shot gets blocked. Refs stuff their whistles, and Virginia loses that one by one. Iowa's 13-5 right now, and NET of 25. That would have been the second quad one win. Instead, it's one of the three quad one losses for Virginia. And I think that one is going to be one that we look back, and especially if we're anywhere close to the NCAA tournament, that's going to be the one that stings the most. Because that one really, that was right there. I mean, it was literally right in Caden Shedrick's hands. Nothing against Shedrick. He got the shot blocked. He got fouled on the shot. But it was right there, point blank. If he was just able to get that off, it was going to go in. So where things stand now, I mentioned the 1-3 record in quad one games. Those are, there's definition. I could go into great detail. Essentially, I mean, there's four quadrants where you look at from an NET perspective, rating the quality of your wins. And Virginia's 1-3 in those quad ones, 3-1 in quad two, 1-3 in quad three, and then 6-0 in quad four. That is not the resume right now of an NCAA tournament team. Strength of schedule is 93. Non-conference strength of schedule, 162, a 3-3 road record. I mentioned the three wins in ACC play on the road. Keep those numbers in mind. I'll refresh your memory on this in a second about other teams with similar resumes, except for somehow the numbers, the net number. Now, what I looked at for the purposes of this column was to see what opportunities for quad one, quad two wins there may still be. Virginia's you know, currently 5-3 in the ACC. There's 12 regular season games left. That means, you know, maybe one or two, if you certainly if you win one, there's two games in the ACC tournament. So how many opportunities in a regular season that we can count on are quad one, quad two? The home and home with Duke. Duke right now, NET of 12. That gives you two guaranteed quad one games. Maybe at Notre Dame. Now, right now, Notre Dame 10-6 with an NET of 80. On the road, a win would qualify as a quad one win if the opponent is ranked in the NET top 75. Now, that's not when you get the win. I mean, you know, a team could either do you could beat the NET number one team and then they lose a lot down the stretch and they're not in the top 25, or a team you, when you beat them, can, you know, improve and their net can go up. But so I'm going to look at Notre Dame. I mean, I'm going to keep them on the list of potential quad one games because, you know, that NET of 80 is going to improve. I got to think it's going to improve. I mean, if Notre Dame keeps playing good basketball and they play, you know, ACC games, are going to improve. That rating is going to improve. So that could be another quad one. So that may be three, okay? At Virginia Tech on February 14th, Virginia Tech's got an NET of 41. We'll break that down vis-a-vis Virginia here in a second. But the a road game against the top 75 is an NET quad one. That would also then qualify the Miami game. NET of 66 somehow. Again, we're going to compare resumes here. And we're going to try to figure out what the heck who Mike Young might have paid to get this NET of 41. But Miami's 14-4, atop the ACC, a win at Duke, lots of other things. They're 66 now, but that'll be a road game. There will be a quad one game. Florida State will be too. Florida State also a win now at home over Duke, but an NET of 57 for Florida State. So those games, that gets you maybe it's either five or six games that'll be quad one games left. Virginia's 1-3 right now. And so I'm saying five or six. If you can get Notre Dame up into the top 75 by the end of the season, that would be a quad one game as well. So let's just say Virginia will have had by the end of the season, 10 quad one games. The only game in JPJ, unfortunately, is the Duke home game. Virginia also plays Miami at home. But Miami is, again, they're 66. Now, let's look at their resume right this second. So the Canes are 1-2 in quad one, 4-1 in quad two, 5-1 in quad three, 4-0 in quad four. Strength of schedule of 52, non-conference strength of schedule of 156, and a 3-1 road record. Their worst loss is Central Florida, whose NET at this moment is 78. Now, here's where I don't have the algorithm. I don't even claim to know how these things work. I mean, I know generally how they work. I just don't know exactly how this one works. But Virginia Tech is 10-7. Now, I know your conference record doesn't matter as far as NET goes. They're 2-4 in the ACC. They're 10-7 overall. They're 41 in NET with a 10-7 record. Miami's 14-4 overall. Now, you'd say, well, that must mean that, you know, Tech played a stronger schedule. Okay, well, their strength of schedule is 89. Let me go back to Miami. Strength of schedule of 52. So the strength of schedule is not indicative of why Virginia Tech, with a worse record, and actually a 3.5 games worse record, would be ahead. Well, maybe that's because their non-conference strength of schedule is better. Virginia Tech's non-conference strength of schedule, 172. Let's go back to Miami. Oh, Miami's non-conference strength of schedule, 156. So no, that doesn't meet the qualifications. Road record for Miami, 3-1. Virginia Tech, 3-3. No idea how this happened. The worst loss for Virginia Tech, in NC State at home, 121. I think that qualifies probably their quad three loss. The records, quad one, 0-3 in quad one for the Hokies, 4-3 in quad two, 1-1 quad three, 5-0 quad four. I mean, even against Virginia, it's hard to figure how Virginia Tech is 51 spots ahead of Virginia. Again, quad one record of 0-3, Virginia 1-3. Quad two for Virginia Tech at 4-3. And Virginia is sitting at 3-1. So overall in quad one and quad two, Virginia is 4-4. Virginia Tech is 4-6. Virginia is now the 1-3 in quad three might be an issue for Virginia, whereas Virginia Tech is, I'm going to scroll back down here on my screen, 1-3. 1-1, and then both teams are Virginia 6-0 in quad four, and Virginia Tech 5-0. The strength of schedule, though, gosh, Texas 89 overall strength of schedule. Virginia is 93, so comparable. Non-conference strength of schedule for Tech 172. Virginia is actually a little stronger at 162. So those are comparable resumes. Virginia's 11-7. Tech is 10-7. Virginia won at home against Tech. And somehow, I'm not saying that Virginia should be ranked ahead of Tech. I'm saying they shouldn't be 51 spots behind them in this ranking. So we are. So let's get back to Virginia. We've identified up to 6 possible quad one games. Virginia thus would, you know, it's either going to be 9 or 10 quad ones by the end of the season. If the Notre Dame game becomes a quad two, there'd be 3 quad twos. So I've identified at least Miami, the home game with Miami on February 5th, and then the March 5 road game at Louisville. Louisville is at 109 in the net. So the home game with Louisville coming up would not even be a quad one or quad two. It'd be a quad three. The other two quad threes in February 1st home against Boston College, an NET of 172. February 12th at home against Georgia Tech, NET of 177. So let's just say the Virginia would have, if things work out the way I think they could, let's say 10 quad one games would be the way things end for Virginia. Quad two, then they would have 5 games, which is interesting. You'd have that, you'd front loaded with quad ones. So what happens, what has to happen? I admit it's a perilous road. It's fraught with peril that Tony Bennett and company needs to travel between now and Selection Sunday. Virginia's going to need to at least steal 3 of the quad ones, 3 of the 6. Going to have to go 3-3 at the worst in those games. And that's asking a lot. 2 of those games are against Miami. 2 of those games are against Duke. One of those is at Virginia Tech. The other would be at Notre Dame. So, I mean, I'm saying you got to win at least 3 of those games. Then in those quad twos, you got to win. I think you got to probably win. I think you have to win, but maybe at least one of those games and maybe both those games. And then I don't think you can drop any of the games, between the Boston College, Georgia Tech and Louisville games that are not, I guess it's a home against Louisville. Oh, the home Louisville, home Boston College, and home Georgia Tech. Can't lose any of those games. You can't hiccup in those games. I think if Virginia goes 8-4, the rest of the way, get you to 19-11. You get to Brooklyn for the ACC tournament. You're going to be playing on Wednesday. I'm pretty sure you'll be playing on Wednesday. Virginia right now is only a game and a half out of first place, but you're probably going to be between 5 and 12. 8-4, Virginia would be 13-7. Yeah, you're still going to be between 5 and 12. You got to win at least one game there, I think. I think 20 wins, I mean, if you know, as long as there's some quality wins in there, no hiccup losses, 20-12, I think it's, you know, if you win on Wednesday and you lose on Thursday, you have a long wait to figure out what happens to you on Selection Sunday, but I think it's doable. I mean, I honestly think I look at that and I say, all right, this is the orange and blue colored glasses, I'm sure, are coming out in me right now. But split with Duke, split with Miami, and figure out a way to either beat Tech or Notre Dame on the road and then hold serve. I think that you can do it. So that is my assessment. It's rosy colored, certainly, if roses come in orange and blue. But it's possible, folks. So don't give up hope yet. Don't give up hope yet. You might have to do that soon, and you might think I'm crazy. But I think there's still a possibility here for Virginia basketball. So I left out the NC State. When I was breaking games down, I left out NC State. Where did I put them in this ranking? Because that's the next home game. That's what made me think. I'm getting ready to wrap the podcast up. I'm like, it feels like to me I left a game out here, and it was the NC State game. NC State would it's a road game at 121, so that's going to be a quad three game, I think. So, no, actually, it would be a quad three game. So, no, it would be a quad two. I'll correct myself here. When I look at the numbers here. So that's an important one. That'd be the third quad three game. That's what flushes us out here. I'm feeling like my calculus teacher. I took Calc 131 first year at UVA, fall of 1990. and brilliant teacher, older guy. And the problems, anybody who ever took, you know, I'm not an engineer, but I took the highest level calc I could take before I realized I'm not gonna be a math guy. These problems would take up like the entire blackboard. It would start at the top of one side, go all the way down, and then go back up to the top of the second side and go all the way down. And I remember one day in class, this guy got to the end of the problem, and it wasn't solving the way he was supposed to. And that guy stood there at the board for a good 10 minutes, staring at it, trying to figure out where he went wrong. And there was one number on like midway through the first board that was off. And I mean, poor non-engineer, non-math major idiots taking calculus 131 for some reason are just left staring at this guy like, so you didn't know that? How the hell do you expect us to know that? I left you there with that, with leaving NC State out, and also the NET stuff on what quad ones and quad twos might qualify for NC State. But anyway, kind of figured out. Go 8-4, win a game in Brooklyn, and this team could sneak its dumb way into the NCAA tournament. Boy, that would I think that might be a bigger accomplishment for Tony Bennett than winning the national championship in 2019. And I sincerely mean that, if he's able to get the team into the NCAA tournament. So the fact that you're telling me there's a chance. You're telling me there's a chance, right? I'm telling you there's a chance. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day.